So good evening and welcome. Welcome to our practitioner slash master practitioner slash teacher mentor call for August 2016. My name is Adamantia and I'm extremely thrilled to be here with all of you this evening. The purpose of these calls and why we created them was basically to create a forum, a space, a container for all of us as practitioners, as students of psychosomatic psychology and teachers to get together and to learn together and to grow together and to feed off of each other. And yes, we do that on the first Wednesday of every month. And we've also are always open. We love getting emails in advance from the calls of any questions anybody would like at this level. We also look at any analysis anybody has in regards to anyone they're working with that has to do with the body-mind or for their own personal, any issues that they might want to have specifically addressed. So always very thrilled when we get somebody who sends something in advance. And for tonight's call, actually, we have Patricia. And for those of you who don't know Patricia, she was just currently with us. We just had our master. So she's a master practitioner. And I believe Patricia, actually, for a few years now, you've been studying and practicing psychosomatic psychology. So I think that's a great way to start for tonight is to open it up. Patricia, you did send in a question regarding someone you were working with, and yes. I thought we'll just open that up after you kind of share a little bit about what you were wanting to discuss this evening.
Okay. Basically, the client that I'm working with has a few things, but the big issue that I... How do I get around this? Basically, she has endometriosis and she kind of has female, it's a lack of feeling, wanting to feel her power and her femininity, but it's brought down from her mother because her mother had a child that passed away just before she was born. So her mom got pregnant right after.
Mm-hmm.
She lost a baby to SIDS. And so in regards looking at it, because she has endometriosis and it's almost like she's scared of having a baby. The other thing is she has protection not between her legs. And this is the thing, her and I discussed it. And nothing has happened to her. And so when I'm looking, that's what I see. But she said nothing has happened to her. So is there something that I can say as a practitioner that will aid her? I mean, I just said it could have been brought forward from her mother. I understand that her mother didn't really have a father figure in her life.
Okay, yeah. So a lot there for sure. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is how important it is, I believe it is, to look at the whole picture, like the whole person. Because no two stories or life experiences are ever the same. And, you know, although there are similarities, we treat each person individually, so honoring their life experience. And I guess why I'm saying that is because I'm having a visual of the person as you're talking about her. And you did also email me telling me about her body type. So just so we can all have that clear visual, it sounds like the thighs are together, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, and there's excess tissues in the upper thighs?
Yes.
Okay.
in the upper thighs, not all the way to the knees.
Okay.
So she has a lot of, she's got bigger thighs and a bigger butt, but she's quite small from, I guess, the belly button up.
Okay, so more, a lot more earthy energy.
Yes.
A lot more, yeah, okay. So the reason that I was pointing that to, we treat everybody different is because, yes, of course, the thighs together mean something, but they do, and they don't always necessarily have to mean, say, that it's, say, sexual protection, right?
Yeah.
Now, having said that, also, there's so many components, right? This is where, again, we look at the whole person and their life experiences are so relevant. So their timeline is so significant. Because for her, it may not necessarily mean that there was any, say, sexual, inappropriate sexual behavior, yet there is a protection. So that much we can say, yes? There is a protection. There is an insecurity. And I think the one thing that I really like what you touched on, Patricia, is the significance of the multi-generational issues that we are healing. And that's why I find this, the deeper I go into this work, the more profound I find it. Because what the extent of what we're actually healing. So when you had mentioned about it being multi-generational, in particular, the key note of everything you said, one of the two key ones that go hand in hand. One is that her mother, so remember, right now we're primarily looking base and sacral chakra, because the inner thighs are sacral, and then the buttocks, and of course, the area we're looking at primarily base and sacral. So at this point, we're aware what energies we're working with. So you're dealing with feminine aspect, you're dealing with mother aspect in that area, and the mother had a child that passed away right before. Very significant. And now she has some fear, if I heard correctly, about having children.
Well, it just hasn't worked out for her. Like, she has endometriosis is something that's, I believe, on the uterus, and it makes it difficult to get pregnant, or it can.
Yes. So if for me, and of course, let's keep in mind, she's not in front of me. I've never spoken to her. So on my limited information that I have, I get a very strong sense that those are connected.
And me too.
Yeah, and very multi-generational. The one thing I did want to talk about, though, is let's say we didn't have that part of the story. We just had the body, and she's saying that nothing, no, she's never been inappropriately, nothing inappropriate has happened to her there. I would then go further down and see what's going on in the ankles. Because when the ankles are kind of caved inward and there's a collapse inward, that still tells me that there's a deep insecurity going on.
Okay.
Does it necessarily have to, and that the thighs are together as well, does it necessarily have to say that it's sexual? No, but it tells me something happened and we're still dealing with the base chakra. So that's the base, and primarily base and solar plexus, that's our fear. That's our fight or flight. So something still happened.
Yeah.
Now may not even have happened to the child. The child could have been in bed one night and heard something in another room that was inappropriate.
Right?
So I just wanted to throw that in, say, if we didn't have this other information. But because we do, perhaps we will work with that. And the thing is, did you look up, how do you say it? I can never say
endometriosis.
Yes. Did you look it up in the book?
Yes. I actually did my case study on it already.
Oh, wonderful. And what did you come up with in the book?
Hang on one sec. I will just get my paper.
Okay.
Because it is a feminine insecurity.
Yes.
And feeling, and what kind of triggered her was feeling scared of your own power.
Mm-hmm.
So
feeling scared of her own power.
Being scared of her own power.
So that's something that she's consciously aware of.
Well, maybe, because she released a little bit there when I spoke that to her.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, it indicates through carrying a feeling of rejection from others, rejecting the feminine side of yourself.
Yes.
Bringing forward a rejection of men may devalue or dishonor yourself, denying yourself love and appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
The part, unsupported.
Yeah, the part that really stood out there, it's almost like I didn't hear anything else, was the rejection of mother. Not in the sense that her mother doesn't love her, didn't show love to her, rejected her. But something kind of, and tell me what you see, what your sense is, but when a mother's lost a child,
yeah,
extreme grief and
yeah.
loss. And that actually, I believe, also goes with endometriosis. Is deep. I'm looking at it in the book. There's also a great deal of sorrow and grief going on that is not being handled. So then on an unconscious level, then the mother gets pregnant again. I'm throwing it out there as a possibility just so we can even just discuss it, but the rejection of even that attach, not wanting to attach out of fear of loss again.
Right.
And very
absolutely.
And very subtle. And then she has her child and she loves her child. Yet at the same time, that's already gone from mother to fetus. Because as we're learning more and more and more with all the studies that are coming out, Gabor Maté, for those who have heard of him, it's starting in the womb. And that's why I'm saying to people, do your timeline before age one. Before zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what kind of work she's done in healing that sort of the mother work around that.
I may actually ask her mom because I know her well as well. So mm-hmm. I may ask her mom to come in. But her mom, I think, is a little bit almost fearful of this kind of stuff.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I would work with her because she's your client.
Yeah.
Where it might get a lot of cross, I don't know why the word contamination comes, it's an awful word, but just a lot of boundaries can start to get muddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I am going to finish with my client.
Yeah.
Later on, I may ask her if she's interested.
Right.
Mother. Right. It would be totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you totally answered my question in the sense of feeling insecurity or fear or inadequate.
Mm-hmm. Could that be from the womb? Because remember, now, so look at her ankles. What are her ankles doing?
They kind of go in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Look at them closer with a sharper eye next time, because sometimes it's so subtle, but the weakness is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what I would try as well, Patricia, are you doing any body work on her?
That's her next appointment.
Okay. I would start gently, but I would just go in and test what is going on with her belly button. When I mean that, I mean very gently. Just maybe put your finger, see if she'll even, how she is about you going into that area.
Okay.
And see, because that is the connection from the womb, from the umbilical cord, when we do the belly button release.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say go in right away with that, but just go in and just see if she, how far in her body lets you go.
Okay.
And that might be a place. And then after that, if you want to talk more about what happened with just going in slowly, then we can discuss. Because it's a huge release can happen there if at the same time she has the conscious awareness of what she's letting go of.
Yes.
And probably a huge relief if she realizes it isn't even hers.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it might not Yeah, because within the thighs, you're also dealing with, that's where a lot of anger and frustration is held.
Yeah.
Right? So there might even be a frustration as to, like, not even being aware of why she's feeling certain ways. Or why her body has tissue there. Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, well, and totally, like, even discussing, like, afraid of her own power, why she got so, she goes, I'm not sure why I'm crying. So she's not even aware of it.
Yeah, and I find usually with that, it's one of two things. It's either it's not their emotions they're releasing, they've been holding, you know, and multi-generational, so whoever, or it's just buried so deep. And that's why when you do body work and you get into the inner side, again, being very sensitive, but going in there and seeing how far she'll let you go there. I'd go a little bit deeper there than I would in the belly button, because there can be a lot of emotions stored there that she wasn't even aware she had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yes. So thank you for that. Did anybody want to add to that? Kay or Michelle, would you like to add to that for us?
I can't think of anything. I think you really said a lot of good stuff. It was really good to hear about the ankles and how it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual, but, you know, just rejection. And also the idea that it starts in the womb, that these issues, and that they're intergenerational. So that's really good to know. And I love the stuff about the anger and the frustration in the belly button. Yeah, that makes total sense. If she was even already feeling kind of that tension, you know, it being connected through the umbilical cord, having a belly button release would make total sense. If her mother has lost the one child, then the second child she may be having anxiety about, you know, during, you know, prenatal.
Yeah. And it even depends when, like, how old is her mother? Was this, you know, in a generation where these things weren't even, they didn't go to self-help groups for this. You just kind of, okay, get on, you put, what do you call it? Pull your big girl pants up, right?
Yeah, back on the horse.
Back on the horse, and you have another baby. So no time to even properly grieve. And again, the beauty of it is she heals this. She's not even just healing it for her mom and for her children. She's grieving it. I bet you there's a pattern there that runs deeper.
And then, of course, there's this whole thing about the child that never was born. You can never live up to the child that wasn't born.
Yeah.
I mean, well, she was born, but she died. There, you can never replace that lost child. You can, never can.
Yeah.
Because the child that died is always perfect.
Yeah, that's so profound. You just give me goosebumps when you said that. That's Patricia, I would say if you can have some sort of that conversation with her about what Michelle just said.
And I've got another hit off of it, too, which is that because she lost the first child, there might have been incomplete bonding because the mother might have been afraid of losing the second one as well. That fear of loss, she may have protected her heart and not fully bonded with her second child.
Yeah, that. Go ahead, Patricia.
Yeah, no, totally. I believe there is some of that there.
Yeah, I think that's just profound. Thank you. Yeah, very deep. Beautiful. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Yeah. KK.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Would you have any thoughts on anything you've heard or your own? Because it's interesting because both the work, well, Michelle, that you do is with loss and grief, yes?
Yes.
Very much so. And KK, you do with pre-birth, don't you?
Yeah, I work with mother's womb imprints.
Yeah.
Ancestral imprints.
So quite a profound group we have here tonight. I'd love to hear. We've got everyone who's fitting in perfectly. What is your take, feedback, any thoughts? I'd love to hear as well from you.
Well, I totally agree with everything all of you said.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. It's a matter of how that is released. So I'd love to see what you would do and how, like, the outcome of how you deal with that. Like, of, you know, your belly button release and all that sort of stuff, and what the results are, in other words.
You mean from Patricia with working with her, you'd like to hear back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because what I do is using a different modality, a different methodology to go at it,
mm-hmm.
Which doesn't, because I find that like going through the mind.
I gotta go. I'll see if I can come back. Sorry.
Okay, Michelle. Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
Sorry, go on, Kay.
This, a lot of these things, you know, consciously talking about it and conscious awareness, to me, isn't enough. Like,
no.
It does release to a certain degree. Like, there's a relief in the understanding that, okay, so it's not my fault, good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing is, like, now what? Because I went through, like, the reason why I got into my work is because I personally experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, there has to be something more that bypasses the outer mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the physical release is definitely one way to bypass the outer mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear what comes out of it.
Yeah, I would as well.
Yeah, we plan on doing emotional release in sometime in August. So I just have to book the appointment with her.
And you also mentioned that, because I totally hear what you're saying, KK, totally hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when Patricia, you had mentioned that she'd already had a bit of emotional release, but she wasn't even understanding why.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit on a truth.
Mm-hmm.
So truth was brought up from the unconscious into the conscious. What it is that it wasn't in the conscious, but it was stored in the body, and you saw it in the body, and you spoke it. Yes?
Yes.
So that, KK, in itself is part of that. She's already started releasing. Because an awareness come up. When someone's having an emotion, they're not even sure why they're having it. Then we've gone and we've tapped into the unconscious. So it's been sitting there. I want to say dormant, even though it's manifested in the physical form, i.e. in this case, perhaps one way would be the excess tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But when we when we align that awareness coming up into consciousness along with releasing it in the body at the same time, that's why I won't just release something in somebody. Because then, for me, it's kind of like what you're saying. Like, I don't think that doesn't do it. To me, that's like a feel-good, like, feel-good in the moment, and then they're back in a week and they want it released again. So really, I like the process you're taking, Patricia, where you're doing the work, bringing things up into consciousness that she may not have been aware of, and then you're going to be doing the body work. So, yeah, along with KK, I would love to hear how that goes. And I'm assuming it's not going to be a one-session sort of thing.
No, I'm sure it'll be a few.
Yeah. And I would really work on the dynamic with the mother, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fascinating, though.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And I hear you, KK. I totally hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and I totally hear what you're saying as well with the, the, as soon as you bring it up, they have an emotional release. The big thing is to have the person not use the conscious mind to kind of stuff it back in, because because there isn't a way to act otherwise. Because the imprinting, the issue with releasing mother imprints is that if they don't learn another way to cope with life, that imprint, releasing that imprint is kind of like pulling a hole.
Right.
Like pulling the rug from underneath the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like all the person ever knew, right, from square one.
Yeah.
So it is, it's a big process of the mind has to go with the emotion. The emotion has to embrace the emotion and the and so on. Like the whole thing has to go hand in hand so it fills the hole.
Yeah. So would you explain a little bit more of what you mean? So you have the release, and then from what I'm hearing, it makes total sense, is having to fill it with something that's a new pattern per se. So are you talking about a new thought pattern, a new emotional pattern? Is this
or
done?
The breathing and the walking.
Yeah.
It most of the time, it is simply a complete understanding of safety.
Yeah.
Usually
understanding of what?
Safety.
Oh, safety.
And it is an emotional understanding that without this piece, I'm still safe and I'm still whole.
Yes, I hear what I see what you're saying. Yes, that's brilliant. I understand what you're saying. Because it is the inner child that's going to be feeling that.
Right.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Thank you for that. No, I like that. Yeah. Because it's almost like, who am I without it?
Yeah.
Because it's, so been it's like, part of her all her life.
Yeah, we came into this world. Exactly. We were created with this imprint. So now you're trying to pull this out of me? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. And it takes a lot of openness and willingness. And, of course, the soul's journey comes in there, right, as well. Because, you know, it takes what it takes in whatever lifetime it takes. But it takes a real openness and willingness for a person to be even willing to say, yes, to I'm willing to letting go of that which has served me in one form or another, primarily to protect me, even if it's a false sense of protection.
That's
for my
right.
whole life, there's going to be a lot of strength that comes in to fill that void. Because then it, I would assume, and I'm not assuming, actually, I've experienced this personally with MS, is who was I without it? Like from the womb, my mother was diagnosed with MS when she was pregnant with me. I was born into the energy of it, and she was bedridden for 25 years. I remember when I felt 95% healed, and yet at the same time, I understood I wasn't free. So I sat down and I asked my body, I said, do you want to be healed? Whether I was asking my body, my spirit, my soul, whatever, but the answers came no. And in that moment, I realized I was freed because I realized, well, not in that moment, I had to make a decision. But in that moment, it was because that's all I had ever known. Am I willing to step out without the story, without it, the crutch of it, without it into this unknown of I don't have a clue who I am without it. And I swear the moment I asked myself, am I willing to be without it into the unknown? And I said, yes, it was gone. It was gone. So, Kay, I just think that's great insight as to, no, is it enough? No, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
It takes more. Yeah.
Well, that's very awesome, Adam and Tia and Kay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And somebody's joined us, 801-450-7533, anonymous.
It's Christy Foster.
Ah, well, now everyone's here.
Hello, Christy Foster.
Hi, Christy. Thank you for joining us.
Ah.
Yes. We were just talking about, well, everything. Did you hear much of everything that we were discussing?
I heard the last part that you just said.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were talking about, well, really, Kay, I guess you can say it better than I, but about the imprint that happens from the womb.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to just in a few words explain that imprint of, I guess what you're saying is when we're releasing something, sometimes not just enough to release it because it's the patterns from the womb.
Okay, yes, I've had that a lot lately with people. So, yes, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had that a lot this week for some reason.
Well,
so I was meant to hear that.
Yes, well, that's what KK does, right? You've met, right? Have you met?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Hi. Would you like to just explain to Christy what it is that you do? With the imprinting, with the...
Well, yeah, the result is basically to let the emotions that a person have created, I'm just speaking off the cuff here.
Yeah.
We're all born. We're all created. It's not even born. It's before we're born. We were created. Every cell of us were created in our mother's energy during those 9 months. So
right.
So after we're born, that's basically our foundation. It's totally the foundation to our house for the rest of our life. So a person starts building up all these stories and emotions around that foundation. They assume that foundation is true because that's all they knew. So what I do is go in and without judgment, without any of that, just help the person to facilitate the person to just let those emotions that are no longer constructive, let them just drop off.
And you go in just energetically?
No, I use a method that I talk with the person, but it's very powerful. It's just during it's a very simple phrase repeating process, and it goes in and it just drops off. And there's no, I don't care what the person says,
mm-hmm.
what the person believes in. I just help the person release it. I don't judge. I don't say pros and cons. I don't, you know, whatever, because that's all that the person ever knew.
Yeah.
So, like, who are we to say that, you know, don't feel bad about it?
Right. Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, because I guess what she said earlier as well was something needs to be replaced. So if there's an old belief system from the womb, if we're releasing it and clearing it, it needs to be replaced with something. Right, KK?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and the person will be able to replace it with more of the goodness that the person already knows.
Yeah.
Once the
the negative things that have the more charge that's always surrounding them, that's always controlling their life, once those are let go, then the good starts to come in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Instead of just releasing a particular thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think that is brilliant. And you know how I see that with psychosomatic, what it is that's why then we talk about the posture of a body as well, so significant, because the body is speaking the unconscious, yes?
Yeah.
So every movement is unconsciously manifesting. So when we're releasing something from cellular memory, such as from the belly button in a release, it's not going to hold if the person then continues to walk with their feet in two different directions and their shoulders hunched over. It's going to shut it down again. So I think that's the significance, which is the same thing I think you're saying, is it has to be replaced with something. It's the significance of what, not just telling them to stand straight, not just telling them to breathe because it's good for them. It's beyond just the physical. It's not just, yes,
right.
It's good to have good, what do you call it, posture, of course. But I'm not doing these things just so I stand straight. I'm doing it because when I'm actually consciously rotating my elbows so that the inside of them, I'm not giving my energy away to the world, I am sending a very strong message to my unconscious and saying, no, I'm taking my power back. Because I also have the conscious awareness of why it was either I was giving it away in the first place.
Right.
And
I like that, Adamantia.
Yeah, and I think that's the significance of why the body part. So we're not just releasing it. It has to be followed with awareness, because otherwise the mind's going to fall into the old patterns.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing Kay's saying with, she's getting them to repeat, and it doesn't even matter what it is. She's basically doing the same thing, because when we're working with the body, we're not just working with the physical.
No.
So I think all these components together are just magical.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
I'll tell you something. Last week, I went to Carol's house.
Oh, did you go for the,
Because she invited us in Calgary, right?
Yeah.
Whoever in Calgary to say hi. And I went in, and I said to myself, okay, make sure you walk straight.
trust me, I understand. You tried being on the road with that woman for a month.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
And then I still realized when I was trying out the little meditation stool, and she said, well, don't cock your hips so much. And I totally forgot.
Yeah. And you know what? I have to tell you, let me explain to you my love-hate with Carol Maureen Friesen, okay? Seeing as she's not on the call, I can speak freely. She doesn't even, it's beyond living the work. She is the work.
Yes.
So there is no, okay, class is over, let's go whatever and blah, blah, blah. It is 24/7 because it is so embodied within her being. And what I find for myself in her presence, and this is what I find with all great teachers, is they emanate the energy field of who they are. Yes, we all do. So in her presence, my body at this point isn't even consciously trying to do it, even though a lot of the time I'm like, I'm not even consciously trying to do it. It is because it's in the energy field of it. It's like it's just doing it. And sometimes I don't notice it until like a matter of field. I mean, for the most part, my body's adapted so much now. But I tell you, I'm aware when I'm not doing something. Like now, just if I was trying to walk down the street with my right foot out, it would not happen. So, and I guess that's what I love about even these calls. It's the same thing. Is I get to be an hour of the month in the energy field with all of you. And right now, I'm already shifting because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just sat up straighter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yes. So I feel for you, KK. I hope she gave you a glass of wine at least.
She offered. I can't drink.
Oh, okay, well, at least she offered.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But, it's an interesting one about the hip cock, because I have been, like, working super hard, and there's been a whole lot of mm-hmm. other things going on. So I have noticed, like, just in the last 24 hours, that, hey, you've been holding your breath.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'll do sometimes is, if somebody goes, well, what does this mean? Say they'll tell me over the phone or something, what does it mean when somebody does this? I'll put my body right into it. So, like, if I want to feel how you're feeling right now, KK, I'm just cocking my hips. I'm doing it right now. And I'm actually energetically feeling it. So I would say to you, when you catch yourself doing it, what are you feeling inside? What's going on inside? Because that would be the old pattern that you're wanting to release, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Actually, a lot happened in the last couple of weeks, including that I passed out.
Oh.
I actually fainted.
Oh. When did that happen?
That was... two Thursdays ago, so less than 2 weeks ago.
What was going on at that time?
Well, there was a lot, but the big one is that actually the best thing was that the universe had been telling me this whole thing, right? Because just 2 hours earlier, I was able to make a last-minute appointment with my chiropractor for the next day. She just happened to have a cancellation. So I said, oh, great, because I haven't been for a month and my left arm has been feeling worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then I had a session booked to give a session to a friend of mine at 2:30, and at about 12:30 or so, she called to cancel because her boss was just admitted to the hospital that morning. They thought he might have had a heart attack or something because he collapsed on the trail in the parking lot.
Oh.
I don't know whether, I think it was the day before. So in any case, yeah, it was all very coincidental. And at 2 o'clock. This happened for me at just before 2 o'clock. And when I woke up, like, I looked at my watch, my Fitbit, and it said like 2:02.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, it was a good thing that she canceled. Otherwise, I would have had to cancel her.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, so this is my shoulder thing, blah, 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 you know, the whole burden thing. And that's from my mother. And I knew that one. Right, it's totally her, you know, she feels that she has to take care of the world and, you know, everybody in the family. For me, it's the world. For her, it's the family. And she would not get, you know, she'd be resentful that, you know, she wouldn't get the accolades or the, you know, whatever, because she's the oldest in the family and all that sort of stuff. She just has to do it. In any case, the next day, my chiropractor said that for me, it's my collarbone was stuck. I never heard that one before. That's new for me. My clavicle, she said, was stuck. And that's why when I had to do is reach out my arm, this happened to my left arm in this case, and all I did was try just reach out to catch my husband dropping a baseball cap into my hand. Okay? So this is so light. But just that little
tension just at the very last moment was enough to send my left arm and shoulder into complete pain. And it didn't go away in a couple of seconds like it normally would. And eventually I just felt like the blood draining out of my head and my body. And then I had to put my head down, and then I had to put my lean back. And apparently the next thing I heard was like, Kay, are you awake? Kay, are you awake? You know, I said, yeah, I'm awake. Apparently, I slumped left, like, and just slumped, and my eyes were like half open, and my eyeballs rolled apart left.
Wow.
Wow.
Can I ask? Can I ask you something? Actually, and I'm going to ask everyone to feel into this. I just want to see the significance of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which arm would you say energetically we receive with, and which one would you say energetically we try to give with, keeping in mind the left, right, female, masculine?
I would say we give with our left arm.
Okay. How about you, Patricia?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you, Christy?
I would say we give with our right, because that is how we move forward and change. And my brain is saying giving work, giving love means moving forward to me, which is right side.
Interesting, interesting. So, KK, let me ask you then. You said left. So this is where it could be an individual thing, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I just want everybody to feel into it for themselves just to see what kind of consensus we had there. But I guess the most relevant is for you, KK, because you're the one having the experience with your left arm. So, yes, you talked about the burden, right, that you've in the left shoulder and such. I think there's more there than just burden, because you kind of talked about it like, yes, I know it's the left side, it's a burden, my mother had that, and we have that, right? You talk about it very like as if you're saying my eyes are blue. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something deeper going on there. So are you trying to give something that isn't being received? So the energy flow actually isn't able to finish, and perhaps that's causing you to feel burdened, yes, but it's almost like the energy flow isn't completely being able to come out of your left arm. So if that is a giving arm for you, and mm-hmm. there's maybe something to this or not, something just to not think about, is that, are you giving? Is there a pattern in your life where you are giving and what is not being received or capable of being received from the heart center again, right? Because our arms and our hand are the final manifestation out from our heart, being in the feminine side, so that would be an aspect as well. Just something to think about.
That's good input.
Yes, well definitely. Definitely. It's how I, like, what is going on? I mean, I've known this for a while, and I just don't know what to do about it. So the interesting part is when my chiropractor said clavicle, collarbone,
mm-hmm.
Because when I pulled on my left arm, then my clavicle was stuck to my left arm, so it pressed on my major artery that, I don't know, whatever it's called, there, down my neck, and that's what caused me to pass out. So when I came home and I looked up collarbone, left collarbone, that's where it really hit.
And
like it hit right on.
What was it? Just, I'd love to know.
It. I can grab the book if you want, but it is... It's about the collarbone is the bone that's between our motivation and our
collarbone reflects our feelings and thoughts about what we are doing and how we are doing it, as well as our attitudes about how we're being related to and about our responsibilities.
Is that messages from the body?
Yes, the connection point between our intention. So if you're you're intending to do something, so it's between your intentions and your actions. So your intent is coming from within. Your action is going to be out from your arms.
Right.
When problems arise here, they reflect deep-seated conflict and concerns about where they are coming from and what effects they are having.
Yep, keep reading.
There is a requirement for a reorientation regarding their fundamental motivations and intended outcomes that are going on, which is putting them on a head-on collision course with their whole lifestyle.
That's right.
Especially in regards to the relationship to responsibility in general and to their responsibilities.
That's right. And then the last one. Read the last one.
Their entire underlying motivational and intentional system is being called into question. Their foundational place of orientation is being massively challenged by the way their life is going. They formed fundamental existential and value priority positions early in life, and now they must re-examine their entire relationship to life, the cosmos, and to themselves.
That's exactly it.
And what I would say about that is I would look at this one closely because it has to do with bone structure. And remember, our bone structure is spiritual issues. Remember, fluids are emotional, muscles, tendons, ligaments are more mental thought. This is a structural issue. Remember, our skeleton is the blueprint of our soul. So I would go into it. I'd feel into it. I would meditate on it. I would ask for guidance as to if you've had enough. Like, you know, when you get to that place, you're like, from the depths of my being, show me, you know, that place, because it's bone and you got to look at where it is. There's a lot going in that area. So something to think about for sure.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what is going on for me right now, because it's basically that my work is where I'm going, where I'm intending to go is this whole thing with the Asian traditional mindset.
Right.
And it's not just Asian, to be honest. It's the world all over.
I think all cultures, all groups, all systemic groups have their own variation of the same recycled stuff that we're trying to overcome. And
that's right.
And I think that just keep doing what you're doing, because when, you know, you're tapping into clearing that for a bigger picture, right? So
yeah, totally.
So I'd like to hear any insights in the future, KK, about what you get from the collarbone, what's going on with that. And I'd love that. And we're getting close to 7. I just wanted to just see if, Christy, you had anything you wanted to talk about tonight, or how do you feel complete before we finish up for this evening, or?
The questions that I have or that a client would be too in-depth for a 5-minute question. Because I got on late and I apologize.
Oh, okay. Well, is it something is it something urgent that the client currently?
Yes and no. It was a new client today, and it's very complicated.
Okay.
It's one that I have to actually talk to Carol about. It's a whole different ball of wax that I have never been seeing.
Okay. So I think what we'll do is we'll just let that one just settle for you, seeing as it had happened today. I did want to add one thing that Patricia had asked about before we started. So, Patricia, we were talking about divine will, love, wisdom, and active intelligence. So the way I want to remind you about this and all of us about this, if you look at your hand, at your thumb.
Yeah.
Okay, so the top digit is divine will. That's blue.
Okay.
The middle digit, that is active intelligence, logic, that's yellow. And then the bottom one, where is what the thumb is anchored in, is in the mound of Venus.
Is what?
Divine will, love, wisdom's the middle one, and then active intelligence is the red.
Active intelligence is red. And yellow is love, wisdom.
Yes. So that you need the intelligence to express your soul's message, right?
Right. And then purple and green?
Those, I have to be perfectly honest, offhand, I'd have to get those ones for you.
Well, from what I see in the master's book, is purple is trust and openness and inner gifts, and green is expression and sensitivity.
Yes, that sounds right, but I don't have it. That I don't have by memory.
Okay.
So I'm going to look it up, though, and I think, we can go with that.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, awesome. Just one last thing I'd like to say is that we do have fall classes coming up. All in Vancouver, we have two Body Awakening Method, our live event in Vancouver, September 23rd to 25th and November 18th to 20th, as well as we do have our practitioner training. So we have the level 1, October 12th to 16th, and level 2, October 17th to 22nd. And with that, I would just like to thank you so much for being here tonight with me and with all of us together. Just a great call. Thank you for everything you brought. And really look forward to next month. Again, that's the first Wednesday of every month. And if you have anything you'd like to discuss on the call, please just email me in advance, and we'll bring it to the call, and we'll learn together. So thank you so much, and we'll talk to you all again soon.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye, Christy. Good to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.